हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 60. Sutra 1, 2, 19. Nacha smartam atad dharma bhilapat. Na, not, cha, and, smartam. What is taught in the smriti? Atad, not of it. Dharma, the qualities. Abhilapat, because of description. The antayami is not pradhan because qualities are mentioned that do not belong to pradhan. Sutra Prakashita. In the last sutra, Vyasadeva gave positive evidence, anvaya, to suggest why the Supreme Person is the intended meaning of the word antayami. Now he'll give negative evidence, vyatireka, by pointing out how the description fails to match pradhan, the unmanifest material nature. Govindabhasya. Because of the reasons mentioned, pradhan, smartam, cannot be called the antayami. Why? Because of mention of qualities that do not belong to pradhan, atad dharma. Though unseen, he is the seeker. Though unheard, he is the hearer. Though unthinkable, he is the thinker. Though unknown, he is the knower. There is no other seer, no other hearer, no other thinker, and no other knower. He is your atma, the antayami, and immortal. He is different from the pradhan mentioned in the smritis. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.23. It is impossible for pradhan to have these qualities. Right? So it's not that, okay, they have qualities, but it's just impossible, because pradhan doesn't do anything. That's the whole point of pradhan. Yeah.
Do Mayavadis accept pradhan as we accept the same meaning? Substance?
Meaning of the 24 elements. Yes, yes, that'll
so
be.
So it's like homogeneous soup before Mahatattva. That's how they accept it?
How, I think at that point they kind of get into their, what is it? Anirvachaniya kind of thing. Because that's the point that they don't know how it's come across. Only those who think there's one, Ekatma or whatever, Ekatmavadis, they'll say, you know, that there's one soul, so that one soul basically would be Karana Dakshay Vishnu. And then they may have some aspects of their creation, so how much, I'm not sure. But they'll take it like that, but then the point is we don't exist, so why we're even discussing it doesn't make any sense. Right? But otherwise, then there's always just the thing is, pradhan will be what the elements, basically the ingredient aspect of avidya. You know, I say the vidya of avidya, right? The knowledge of avidya, something. I don't know. It's just weird.
But, it seems a bit similar to the materialists and their Big Bang. It's actually the absolutely essential point, and they're just like.
Yeah, they can't
Everything
explain
else
it.
They can explain, but this
that
is
one
like
they
the
can't
key
explain.
Point.
Yeah, it's the key point, but they can't explain.
Yeah,
it.
And they just don't care.
Yeah, well, because they all don't care. So as long as everybody doesn't care, then they're cool. But if somebody comes up with a theory now, then they got a problem. Because then they have to have a theory, otherwise, then you're just a schmuck.
Yes.
Yeah, you're irrelevant. Yeah. So that's the. It's just. No matter if they all accept it, so therefore then they all let it go. But you know, it's like all the friends getting together, patting each other on the back, how great guys they are, and everybody else thinks they're dweebs, you know. like that kind of, right?
You just patted me on the back.
Okay. Okay. Bhagavatam verse reference.
Who gives the Bhagavatam verse reference?
Who gives the Bhagavatam verse reference?
That's his.
Who?
Bhagavad Devotion?
No. This is Sahotama.
Okay.
Because he studied the whole Vedanta Sutra and Bhagavatam. Because Vedanta Sutra and 11th Canto, those were like his. Those would be like his comfort reading.
Good time reading.
You know, just when he just wants to go something familiar or something, you know, like that. So, yeah. Yes. So then he worked on 1 year going back and forth between what was the essential words that are in the sutra and then where those words are in the Bhagavatam. That's why you see the two match so well. So then, and you see is that the meaning is the same, the purports, it's all explaining the same point. So, you know, that's what he did. So that list is, right?
Yes.
That's then what we're using. So the course is that we're studying Vedanta Sutra, but in comparison to the Bhagavatam, so we can see is that all the points that we're learning, we're knowing from there, right? But it'll just have that nyaya flavor to it. Then we'll see is that another, the same element will be the Sandarbhas. That'll take the same points, but then put them together in reference to more bringing out like the how you say, the Gaudiya perspective of it. This is more to defeat the other philosophies to establish the supremacy of the Lord. And I think there's it's a you know, taking it a step further. Right? Yeah. It's like the, how you say, Chaitanya Charitamrita of Nyaya Prashna. You know, yeah, that's going. Yeah? Okay. Okay. The Bhagavatam verse reference. So, up to that point, you know, in other words, where it said Govinda Bhashya, up to Bhagavatam verse. So, Sutra Prakashika, that's who's compiling, like that, puts that together, and then the statement, you know, here of the Bhagavatam verse reference, and then the comments on the purport. But otherwise, the Sutra, the word for word, the translation, and the Govinda Bhashya, that's directly Baladev. Yeah, and then sometimes before some, not you don't see here, but in some of them, then between on what's called Ardhakaranas, then he'll bring in something to introduce it. So sometimes we have something before it, and then it seems that we start again. That part's Baladev also.
And those samshaya and purvapaksha.
Depends if it's in the Govinda Bhashya, that's him. If it's before that, then it's then we're putting that so it makes it more clear. Bhagavatam verse reference. The Antaryami is not pradhan because as the witness and knower he is conscious of everything, whereas the pradhan is unconscious. That's why it says, although seen he is the seer, because the pradhan is just unconscious. It doesn't see, it doesn't hear, it doesn't think, it doesn't know, like that. So that's the... Because here, see this word Atma, Prabhupada explains in Prajna Personified Vedas that Atma technically means only Krishna. It doesn't mean anything else, because he is the Atma. But the living entities, because they're part and parcel of the Lord, from that aspect, then they can also be called Atma, only because they're part of the Lord. So then to distinguish them, you have Jivatma and Paramatma. So that's what it is. Because otherwise, when it means Atma, it means the Lord. Like that. So they're taking it, Atma means us, and then you could maybe attribute to the Lord, but they don't. But it's actually the other way around. Atma means the Lord. And then we can be included because we're part of the Lord. Like that. Yes?
Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also makes the point that when the Shrutis, they refer to Atma, this is actually a very affectionate way to address the Lord. Because it's a general assembly where everybody's present, they don't want to say the name, so they just say Atma.
Atma.
This means Krishna, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so then that aspect of etiquette, not saying the name of the senior or superior. Yeah. Yeah, no, there's all kinds of far out stuff. Like that, isn't it? Yes.
Can you please explain that? How does this particular Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3.7.23, this has been used as evidence for, you know, Vyatireka in the negative sense? Because
negative, because it means that the negative means that Pradhan can't have these symptoms.
So this is the point of view of Pradhan, therefore it is negative. But if you take it from the point of view of the Supreme Lord, it is unviolable.
No, but if you're establishing that, it's positive, because the discussion is Pradhan.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The discussion is Pradhan the Supreme? So here's a negative proof that the Pradhan can't be the Supreme because of these points.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that it's about the Supreme because the qualities match the Supreme. So you could take it either, if you're talking about Atma, then you would say this is positive because it establishes. But when you're talking about Pradhan, then this is negative.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.19. Lord Manu said, "The Supreme Living Being has created this material world of animation. It is not that he was created by this material world. When everything is silent, the Supreme Being stays awake as witness. This living entity does not know him, but he knows everything." Footnote 36. Srila Prabhupada comments, "The difference between the Supreme Being and the ordinary living being is that when the material world is annihilated, all the living entities remain silent in oblivion, in a dreaming or unconscious condition, whereas the Supreme Being stays awake as the witness of everything. This material world is created. It stays for some time, and then it is annihilated. Throughout these changes, however, the Supreme Being remains awake," right? Because being Sarvajna, he's always conscious. For pastime, then he may take on that aspect of Mugdata, and so therefore he's sleeping or he's doing other activities. But he is consciousness, so that means he's always conscious. Right? And he's the supreme, so he's conscious of everything, because everything is him. Right? Being conscious of yourself is not actually so difficult. Right? So Krishna, all it is how is it possible? But he's just conscious of himself, because everything's within him. You know, so we're thinking, how is he conscious of everything? Because it's all him. So that's why, for him, that's not the big deal. Right? Being conscious of yourself, that's not the difficult part.
Mm-hmm.
Interacting with others, that's the interesting part.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Right? You know, how you say, you are getting ready for a program, and you're conscious of how your, you know, arrangements are there, and you're satisfied with those arrangements. Right? So that's the Atmarama aspect. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's the increase in happiness? It's in the interaction with others. Right? Does that make sense? Even though those others happen to be yourself, but hey. You know, you know, we don't want to get too sci-fi here, but you know.
He's a pretty cool dude, so.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. That's where he's beyond. It just doesn't make sense to us. So the point of Anirvachaniya is there, that there's a limit to what you can understand, and that limit is what he reveals.
Yes.
Right? They're taking Anirvachaniya as the Lord's not involved. It's just that it can't be explained because they don't have the brains. Right? But Krishna, by serving him, he gives the intelligence that you can understand those points. Right?
Understand or experience? Do we distinguish here?
Not necessarily, because the understanding is that you know the facts, but the important part is the experience. Because the experience we'll call realization. But we'll find that something we don't know, then Krishna may reveal that we know, and then by contemplating that for some time, then we realize. Like that. So it's always that gyan to vigyan. But the point is he is both. Because that's the point. He is Manamoy. He is Vigyanamoy. Mm-hmm. He is Anandamoy. Like that. Is that? Yeah. Okay. In the material condition of all living entities, there are three stages of dreaming. When the material world is awake and put in working order, this is a kind of dream, a waking dream. Then the living entities go to sleep. They dream again. And when unconscious at the time of annihilation, when this material world is unmanifest, they enter another stage of dreaming. At any stage in the material world, therefore, they are all dreaming. In the spiritual world, however, everything is awake. So that's where that is the aspect where we're saying about illusion, that it's a dream, it's unreal. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means how we're seeing it is not real. Right? You know, it's just like, probably gives the example, the dream. You see in the day a mountain and you see gold, and then at night you're dreaming of a golden mountain. So gold in the mountain exists. The dream exists. But that there's a golden mountain, that's just a dream. That's the illusion. Right? So that's what we mean by that. So we'll say this is a fact, right? And so then that's the difference. We'll say it's all real. But our perception of it, that's the unreal. But it's real that we're, you know, seeing things in an unreal way, like that. So there's no sense, no question, there's nothing existing like that. But it's just the proportion. Once you put Krishna there as the central point, it all falls into place. The Mayavadis, all these other schools of thought, basically everything else in the world, it's we're putting ourself as the center. That's why it doesn't work. Right? So, you know, that's the whole difficulty. So, like if you have a machine, and then it has all its parts, so all the parts fit into it, it all makes sense. But if we take one little cog and make that the center, it's all about that. Then the rest of it doesn't make sense. How does it fit? How does it, you know? So that's the difficulty. You know, so the difficulty boils down to ultimately it's either there's karma or gyan. One of these two is why we're bewildered. There's an attachment for one of those two or a combination. That's why it doesn't work. But as soon as that's given up, that's why Rupa Goswami points out about being favorable to Krishna without karma or jnana, then it becomes very easy. Right? Does that make sense? As soon as we make Krishna the center, then working with the material world becomes easy. As long as we make ourselves the center, then working with Krishna then has, you know, it has difficulties. Because, you know, you have to share everything, you know, but share meaning you would rather not. Not share meaning from bhakti you would like to. Mm. So it's always going to be an inconvenience. So, yeah? You had something?
Well, I was just thinking that there's that statement that there would, I think they made it for Jesus, that he was in the world, but he was not of the world. So it's in that same kind of line that you can be part of something, but not actually be part of something.
Yes, yes, that's the whole point. So Krishna is like that. So when the devotee connects to Krishna, they also become like that. Because there is no other method. See, bhakti is the method of self-realization. All other systems of self-realization, religion, are all inferior. They all just don't get, they won't get you out of the material world. None of them. Bhakti is the only one that will. Because we'll say, okay, right here where I am right now, that, so I get beyond that, you know, I have the world vision or the universal vision or, you know, how you say, whatever it is that, you know, inspires us. But then you're going to get out of the universe. But then unless you get out of Mahatattva, you're not actually out of the material world. Right? Because the primary creation happens in Mahat, not inside the universe. Right? So therefore there's no philosophy other than pure devotional service that will get you out of the material world. It's the only system of self-realization. So it has so many angas to it. So means hearing, chanting, remembering. So if you take just the remembering, then you build the whole yoga system on that. You know, you're using intelligence to understand buddhi yoga. If you just focus only on the intelligence, then you get, you know, what the Shankarites do or the other, you know, these Gotama, Vaisheshika, and Shankya, you know, like that. They work on these kind of levels. There's action in Krishna consciousness. You just focus on the action part based on the scriptures, you get Jaimini. You understand? There's non-difference between the living entity and Lord. You over-emphasize that, you get the impersonalism. Like that, you know, one is happy in performing some action, you know, because like this, then you get karma. You understand? So every aspect of Krishna consciousness, then taking that, you can end up with some bogus philosophy. You know? Just like if I take the principle that, okay, the preparation without salt doesn't have any taste, so salt's the most important. So either we'll put tons of salt or we'll just eat salt. You know, so that's all these other philosophies. They're taking an aspect of the thing and overdoing it. You know, like how you say, brahmacharis with the paneer, or, you know, butter, ghee, you know, all those good things. It gets a little overbalanced, like that. You know, or the Bengalis and the chili. You know, it just gets a little overbalanced. You know, actually, that would be unfair. To say the Bengalis are the ones that are into hot food like that.
That's the Rajasthanis.
No. Andhrans have everybody down. They take red chilies, grind them into a paste, right? Put a little salt in it. I'm not sure if they put a touch of lemon and stick it on the side of the plate. Then they put a million chilies into the cooking. So already, if you put any more chilies, you wouldn't see anything else. So then when they eat that, then putting that in their mouth, then they take a little bit of the other stuff to add that extra. Yeah.
And then the chili itself is at least thrice more spicy than the ordinary chilies.
Yes. Now, they're picked. They haven't come across the Bhuta chilies yet, have they? There's one kind of chili they've come across that's got, I forget what it is. Most chilies are in, I think, 200,000 of the units of hot, you know, good hot chili. But these are like a million or something. It's something ridiculous. You know, if they got those down there, then it was like, you know. Yes. So, that's what we're talking about. Yes. Okay. Yes. So the spiritual world, everything's awake because everything is seen in connection to Krishna. And in the material world, nothing's awake because nothing's seen in connection to Krishna. So the degree that you are seeing things in connection with Krishna, to that degree, one is awake. And to that degree, one's not. One is asleep or dreaming, not even asleep, just dreaming. Because it has, how you say it? Waking dream, sleeping dream, and unconscious dream. Like that.
Wait, so life is but a dream.
Yes, it is.
Row, row, row your boat.
Yes, see, the French knew it all along. Yeah, see, like that. Yeah. And, huh?
Adrishtam drishtavam nakshat bhuttam swapnavar evaya bhuttam vavar bhavishyashta suktam sarva raho raha. Everything that exists in time, everything that is happening in time, which includes the past, the present, and the future, is merely a dream. Hmm. This is the secret teachings of all the Vedic Shastra.
Wow.
The last verse in the spoken by Narada Muni, the very last verse spoken by Narada Muni in the story of King Puranja.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 8.1.11. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see, for his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the Super Soul, who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. 37. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur comments, if the Lord dwells everywhere in the universe, why do we not see him? One does not see the Lord who sees all. Quote, when a pot is destroyed, one's knowledge concerning the pot is destroyed. When the universe is destroyed, does the Lord's knowledge of the universe get destroyed? The Lord's Jnana Shakti, Chakshuhu, emanating from his Sarup, is never destroyed. Shruti says, Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriya Cha. The Lord has intrinsic power of knowledge, strength, and action. Srita Sutara Upanishad 6.8. Similarly, the sunlight is not destroyed when objects it reveals are destroyed. The Lord dwells in all beings. Right? So it's just a better example. The Lord dwells in all beings. The Lord dwells or dwelling? Okay. In all beings is free from contamination. It is bright and is the friend of the jiva.
That's right. The Lord dwells in all beings, is free from contamination.
The Lord dwells in all beings, is free.
Like listing.
Okay. Shruti says, Dva Suparna Sayuja Shakaya. There are two birds dwelling together as friends. Mundaka Upanishad from the Sardartha Darshani 8.1.11. But so the Lord, even though everything's destroyed, his knowledge is not, because it's coming from his sarup. It's coming from his own internal potency. Because that's how he's working. So the principles of the creation remain. That's the point, is the primary creation. They're always there. The secondary, that is manifest and unmanifest. But the primary is the eternal principle. So that's always there. That's what you can do with material energy. So then it has its particular manifestation. While then the spiritual world then has its manifestation, which is an eternal principle. Yes?
So why destroy it? Does he just get tired of it or what?
No, because, see, you're working on trying to... The living entity is trying to be the controller and enjoyer. And because they're controlling, that means they're going to be doing it in their own way. And because of that, then their actually perspective of what they're controlling and enjoying is going to change. Because since it doesn't have anything to do with the soul, it won't give any satisfaction. So then the natural tendency is that if you do an activity, if it doesn't give you a satisfaction, you move on to the next activity. So it should be, there should be some connection to it. Right? There's an activity, the thread that you go on to the next, there'll be some connection because you're trying to solve the problem with this one. So then there'll be some minor or major adjustment in the form or the approach to it. You know, like that. Instead of riding on a skateboard on your feet, you'll ride on your hands, or you put a few more wheels, or you put the wheels in a line, or you just make it bigger, or, you know, instead of riding on the sidewalk, you put bigger wheels and ride it down the side of a hill. You know, it's just, you just, there's something that just takes you. So that transformation means they also are just looking temporary because there's no satisfaction of the soul. So it has to be temporary. Because otherwise, if it always stayed in that, people would be so bored. Right? Like that. They have to change it.
You know? You're saying it has to be destroyed because everyone gets so bored?
Yeah, it just has to go. It says he's not the ones, we're the ones. Because
okay.
How we're going to try to control it and enjoy it changes. So because that changes, then there has to be a change. How can you move into some other form?
Okay. Sorry, but I was always under the impression that he destroys it because it gets pissed off.
No.
The fire coming from Baladev's mouth.
That's there because that is because no one is seeing it in relationship to the Lord.
Yeah,
but that's,
so he gets tired of it.
But that's that aspect of Baladev, because they're not following Sankarshan, because they're not following the principles of serving Vasudev.
And I thought that was the primary reason why he destroys it out of.
That's at the end, but why there's transformation. The temporariness is because there's transformation. Right? There's transformation because the living entity is desiring to try something slightly different. That's the point of mental speculation. You've done something, you adjust that to try to, that now I'll get become happy. That doesn't, keeps going. But there's a limit of what you can do with one form. Like that, you know, it's like how you say you like to eat all kinds of nonsense. Humans aren't that great at eating all kinds of nonsense. You get a bad stomach in that. But pigs and crows don't. So therefore, then they can go into that form or, You know, they are willing to go along with the laws, and therefore then they move up in the cycle. So samsara is just the natural effect of the living entity trying to be the controller and enjoyer. And so then according to what they do in relationship to the Lord's laws, then that's what's going to happen, right? That they're not taking up devotional service, that will be the annoying part to Sankarshan. So then in that way it gets destroyed. But immediately it's right back again. So it's not that, you know, if the Lord wanted to destroy it, it could be destroyed and not resurrect, but it comes back again because of just that interaction with the living entities.
I was going to say it comes back again after the hell of a long time.
Yeah, but the point is you're having a nice nap through that long time to recover from the, you know, it's just like you have a full day, you know, you need a good rest, so after, you know, a full, you know, lifetime of Brahma of nonsense, then we get a bit of a rest.
That's on top that we are anyway sleeping.
Yes. Yes, it's just varieties of sleeping. In other words, from the waking dreaming, then you need to go to sleep dreaming, and then you're hoping to become unconscious dreaming. Yeah. Okay. So, therefore, the Lord, His knowledge, we don't see Him because He's beyond. And because there's a constant transformation, that doesn't mean that he knows it all. Yes.
Sorry. Prabhupada hated sleep. He once said, I hate to go to sleep. So is a symptom of God consciousness is that one wants to stay constantly awake?
No, the point is one wants to be consciously conscious of Krishna. That's the point. So it's not about being awake or not awake. It's about always being absorbed in Krishna. You know, so whatever you can do to be absorbed in Krishna according to your position, and especially here because there's so much you can do, it's not that it's just the pastime in the spiritual world, then you have certain timings for everything, so then there is that time when there is some sleep and stuff like that. But you see is that like the Cowherd Boys and others, then they go to sleep and then they just dream about Krishna. They just think about Krishna. But because there's no other service for them at that time. But then like the gopis, they don't sleep at night. They're up serving Krishna at that time. Right? So then there's different approaches to it. The point is just to be absorbed in Krishna. Okay, Sutra 1-20. Shriyash chobhayepi hi bhed he naivanam adhiyate na not cha and smartam.
Sorry, this is the word-to-word translation of the previous sutra.
This is the word-to-word translation of the previous one.
No, yeah, it must have been a copy-paste error. Because that should say Shriyash cha obayam.
Yeah, it's true. I was thinking, oh, another one with smartam in it, but just doesn't have smartam in it. Okay. The Antayami is not a yogi. Both versions of the text indicate that the yogi is different from the Antayami. Sutra Prakashika. Having dismissed the notion that Antayami referred to Pradhan, Vyas now considers the possibility that Antayami could refer to a jiva who has attained perfection through yoga. Shri Govindabhasya. The word na should be added to the sutra from the previous sutra. For the reasons already given, the yogi, sharira, cannot be antayami of earth. Why? Because he, both recessions, ubhaye, kanva and madhyandina, say that the yogi is different from the antayami. The kanva recession reads, yo vishanam, Anantaro yama yati. He who is within the jiva controls the knower. The Madhyandina recession reads Ya Atmanam Antaro yama yati. He who is within the Atma controls the Atma. Both versions indicate that there is a difference, one person being the controlled and the other being the controller. Therefore, the Antaryami is the Supreme Lord. Subalu Upanishad mentions that Narayana is the Antaryami of the earth and the other elements. The Antaryami of Pradhan, of Yakta, the Antaryami of Jiva, Akshara, and finally the Antaryami of destruction, Mrityu. One of these verses spoken by the Brahmana is as follows. He who is one, unborn and eternal, residing within the heart and the body, has the earth as his body, spreads within the earth. The earth does not know him. Subala Upanishad 7.1. So it's similar also to that Chandogya. Like that. How he's in everything, but everything is not in him, and everything doesn't know him. You know, whatever he's in doesn't know him. So that's the... Okay. Yes, so here's even using the different recessions, because it means the Veda has its different... I would say, how they're put together. So depending on the Veda, some of them have more or less like that. I think Sama Veda has the most with 1,000, and then others have, I'm not sure how many, you know, 20, 30, 50, like this kind of thing. So from two of them, he's showing from two different recessions, it says exactly the same thing. Just wording is different, but the meaning is exactly the same. Bhagavatam verse reference. The Antaryami is not a jiva who attained perfection through yoga. For even in perfection, the jiva is different from the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-45. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process. And it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full in 8 kinds of achievement. But for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection. So the yogis, they can get all these yogic siddhis, these perfections, but not he. The Lord has them in full, while the yogi can get them in some small proportion. Right? He can touch the moon with his finger, but you know, doesn't say he can touch the sun with his finger. But the Lord is the sun, so. Yeah.
This Antaryami would be
Kshiradakshaya
Vishnu and Ajita, the one that
we refer to? Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, yes. Ajita is the form he took specifically for that pastime. Like that. So in other ones, then he'll be different. Like that. But it's not an uncommon thing. He'll come and interact with the demigods. Like we mentioned, when they had the demons were had asked Sukracharya, why are the demigods always successful? Right, and he explained because they study scriptures, they perform yajna, they perform austerity, and so then they ask, well, can we do that and then we'll be successful? And he said yes, so they did it and they were successful. And so then that was the problem for the demigods, right? Because always they do all the good stuff and the demons do all the bad stuff, and you know that's how it works, right? I say, demon is as demon does, right? You know, like that. So, but then when they start doing all the things that the demigods do, then they became, you know, so powerful. So they went to the milk ocean, offering their prayers. The Lord came himself personally, and then he says, "Okay, you know, I understand your problem, and that we'll solve the problem. But before we solve this problem, would anyone like to come back to me?" Now, it means go to Vaikuntha now. And everybody, you know, had something important. You know, someone forgot they left the gas on. Someone had to take the kid to the dentist. And, you know,
mom's
all that.
Calling.
Yeah, something's going on like that. So no one said, okay. So then from behind the Lord came the Adi Jinnah and the Adi Buddha. Like that. So then, you know, to stop them in other words, to keep them from doing Dharma properly, you had to bring in bogus religions. So then the Adi Buddha, then he went to them, you know, who's doing the sacrifice, and then he got them to stop following the sacrifice. And the Adi Jinnah, then he went to them, you know, that they're studying scriptures, and what are you studying? Oh, this and that. So what does it say? He says, like this, you know, this is the conclusion. And then he would say, no, but, you know, but it could be this, it could be that. You know, that's the whole Jain thing. It's just whatever you say, yes, it could be, but it could also be. So it's just pure speculation.
Is it like Vedic Protestantism or something?
It's just you doubt everything, anything, you know, so there is nothing, you know, it's like that. And so like this, they got him to stop doing all these things. And then from that, then the demigods became more powerful again. But then you've introduced, you know, Buddhism and Jainism. You know.
Well, we have to deal with that.
Yes. You know, the living entities want, so it has to be introduced at some point.
Yes.
The Jains, at least among the higher members of the Jain religion, they're very austere.
No, they're very austere.
Yeah.
But it's just that, you know, what's the conclusion, what's the absolute, that's where it is. Mm-hmm. So they were just throwing them off from the speculation. Yes.
Deep sleep that we're talking about, that's the one that touches Brahmajyoti?
That's the one, because you're absorbed in the Lord. That's why it's so, how you say, refreshing. Yes. Yeah, because at the end of the night of Brahma, everything goes back into the Lord. So that's why one feels rested.
Back to the beginning.
Yes. No, we seem to have run out of Vedanta Sutra stuff. Okay, so I guess we'll go to Bhagavatam. Yes. Otherwise, I don't have the. Proper references that we could analyze, you know, Christmas carols or something. Well, go on to Bhagavatam. You know, like we just analyzed row, 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 you boat, so then, so now we can. What does it mean when Jesus walks? Does that mean he's always walking? Why are they so happy now that he's walking? You know,
he talks with me too.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but the thing is, you know, does he only walk in the day? So if he walks at night, then it's a problem, or?
He walks, but does he walk?
Yes, and it comes down, is it the pot or is it the shoe?
Yes.
Does he walk like an Egyptian since he was near?
Somehow or another, by his walking, he wipes your sins away.
Yes. So that
happy day, happy day.
That's why he keeps walking.
Yes, why he keeps walking, trying to get away from the sins. Oh, no.
There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
He wiped our sin away.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Just by walking, he's wiping our sin away, so that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, that's true. But that's only in the day.
You can do the treadmill.
Oh, the treadmill. Yeah, yeah. The hamster ones. Yeah, you can do the hamster one, and also then, you know, power the house, you know, charge the batteries.
Many things done at once.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Jesus is so up to date.
Yeah.
Okay. Chapter 8. The churning of the milk.